Well, I guess we can get started.
Sure.
So far, we don't have a quorum. So if there's anything important to vote about, it's not going to happen today, I guess. So I'm Tammy Yeager. I am with Waste Management, known as WM now, and new chair, first meeting. So forgive me for any errors. The person that's going to be doing the minutes would like us to state our names when we're voting. Not that we are voting, but it'll be helpful if when you say something, you speak up and say your name so that whoever knows, you know, they'll know what our name is. So we'll go around the room.
Toby Searles with Glenn Weston.
Cindy Blumel, public person, county resident.
Chris Lloyd, Benton County, Public Works, Solid Waste.
Clayton Rawlings, Benton County, Public Works.
Tyler Mackey, Waste Management.
Chuck Torelli, City of Kennewick.
Richard Bloom, City of West Richland.
Hey, Richard. We have Michelle on. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. First order of business is approval of the, well, I guess public comment. Do you have any public comment? Okay. Moving on, approval of the agenda. Is there any, does anyone want a motion for approval of the agenda?
Tammy, do we have a quorum now?
Good point. Is it 50%?
Not sure.
Usually it's 50%.
Yeah, I don't.
Actually, I'm not quite sure we ever defined a quorum in the bylaws.
Perfect. Okay. Well,
yeah, most just go off of majority. It is typically mentioned in the bylaws, but usually it's the majority, so over the 50%, so like 51% or more.
Okay. And I didn't bring the bylaws with me today, so let's see. We have, you can't vote as long as you three.
Yeah, vote. Well, I think Carlo from the city of Richland's here, so that should push us over.
Five. Is Carlo official?
Not a voting member, though, so.
He can't vote either.
Oh,
yeah. So we have five, and let's see. We can't count all the alternates. It looks like we have a quorum of five, so we can vote on the minutes. Are there any?
Sorry, Tammy. I was just going to say, in that case, I move to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
So that was Chuck moving and Richard seconding.
Yep.
Are there any questions or comments or edits to the minutes?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Item six, we're cruising right along here. So we've talked about this a few times. Action items, the identification of the top three recycling priorities. And what's come up a few times is the lithium-ion batteries, tires, paint. And this discussion comes from us getting the solid waste management plan, re-energized last year. And so needing to follow through on some educational priorities. And I know Cindy's had a strong interest in this, as do we, and Martin, of course. So I guess my My comments on this would be we're working on the City of Kennewick contract right now, and so there will be different things I'm sure that will come up that the city would like to see. That contract comes up later this year, so there's different things that they're going to want in that contract, so changing things up for us right now is not exactly a good timing, but if there's, you know, something that the group wants to do, we're certainly open to that. And I think it would be great as soon as the household hazardous waste facility opens that we, you know, promote the heck out of that. So, and what that accepts. So does anyone have any other input?
I guess I have one question or clarification. I caught, in the last meeting, I caught a snippet of a comment that the solid waste, the municipal, the waste facility will not accept lithium batteries. Is that what the plan is now?
Current plan is yes, not to accept them currently.
Did you hear him?
No, currently, not really.
Currently, the plan will not accept them. That is accurate.
Okay, what is the overall plan then? If we start promoting them being recycled, where are they going to go?
Well, we from our side of it, we would advise them where they can take them. So if somebody brings them to the facility, we would let them know where they can take them because, you know, like I said, on the current operations plan, we're not going to accept them for numerous reasons. It doesn't mean that we won't down the future or be able to have a conversation about accepting them in the future, but from the public works side of it, then we're not going to accept them and let them know where they can, you know, the appropriate places that they can dispose of them.
Where can they go? There's Batteries Plus still takes them.
Batteries Plus still takes them. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a list that I will send you and whoever I have emails for. We actually went through and we updated our list and found more. Like, we found a couple places recycled glass in Richland. So I forgot to bring that today, but I will make sure to get it to you. Maybe you can help get it to everybody that needs that too. So we do have a pretty good list of places to take certain items now.
Well, actually, I think most of the issue will come down to that. I was going to bring it up. We not necessarily want to get into it, but I don't think any of the facilities will take what it's called a bulging lithium battery. And I'm just wondering if we've looked at as far as what the options are, whether the fire department, things of that nature.
Well, we're not going to accept a battery, a bulging battery this time because we only have the facility that's inside our building with everything else. And I don't need a little firecracker going off and setting everything else on fire.
I recognize that. I'm just talking about where are we going to send them with the bulging battery? Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, I just wanted to get clarification.
Yeah. Everybody I've talked to so far says keep them out of your building. So until we have another section or decide to take them, we're not going to put them in there with other flammable things around them, or it's going to happen.
Well, I recognize that. I think that's basically what happened with the Richland landfill facility.
Problem. I agree with you.
Unfortunately, it may end up being one of the trucks. okay, I'll start pulling a string because that will be part of the education that we want to. I mean, I think proper management of lithium batteries is just going to become more of a overall issue for us. Flaming garbage trucks are not what we want.
That's true.
Another thing is, you know, our facility is right next to the public. And like you say, we don't want flaming garbage trucks. We don't want a flaming building right in the middle of
no,
town.
No, I totally agree.
Stop up there. Toss up there. It sucks. But we'll figure it out. Eventually.
Okay. I think I might be worthwhile to take a tour of Battery Plus and see how they're managing this issue. Or are we going to have a flaming Battery Plus place?
Yeah, it would be interesting to know how they do it, what they're doing.
I think they charge.
Yeah, I mean, they throw it in their trash.
Next center from somewhere else. Everybody's got a contract with somebody. So, sure.
Michelle, do you have any updates? I know you talked a little bit about this at the last meeting.
I don't know who actually accepts them. I mean, typically you would want them to be taken at your county facility or your collection events. I definitely agree with the sentiment that if it's not a convenient collection, it's going to end up in the garbage truck. So, but I do understand the inside facility, and hopefully that can be changed in the future so that you guys can still offer that, or maybe just promoting it to be collected at your collection events for any of the rural collection events that you still do. But I don't have a ton of information on the lithium batteries at this time.
I would imagine that we could get an exterior facility, a metal box that keeps rain out, but we could park away from the building. There might be people that make products like that now. Based on the same issue. We can't be the only place in the United States that's trying to figure out how to not have a lithium battery burn out a facility. I'm hopeful, I guess, that someone's already figured this out.
If you'd like, at the next meeting, I could invite Ethan Bean, and he's our MRW coordinator, and maybe he could come and do a quick presentation on the batteries and options.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
From a technical, I mean, I did in a past life, I was the COG engineer over alkali metal management out on Hanford for FFTF and related stuff. So there is a relatively low tech approach to managing lithium neutralization, so to speak. It actually involves pure nitrogen gas, but I don't think we can, you know, also because I've got my environmental hat on, I don't think we can permit it. So anyway, I'll do some checking around and see if anybody's come up with a system.
Okay.
Question. as I'm looking at the list of lithium batteries and tires and paint, and that was our recycling thing, and then we were going to develop the messaging, I'm hearing what's happening is then we're not going to work on any messaging between now and 2 months from now because... I get that we don't know the answer, but are we not going to say anything to the public? Because that's what I feel like this is urgent. That's all.
Which part is urgent?
That we need to tell the public about the lithium batteries. So that's all. Put on a website. I mean, I know that your situation is probably not ready to go and they can't take it. And there's other issues, but. People need to know. For number one, you could adjust your buying habits if you knew there was no way to recycle a lithium battery. So, that's all.
Or dispose of it, actually. There's no way to get rid of it once you have it right now. Well, other than whatever Batteries Plus takes.
They do charge a little bit.
So, I mean, a thought.
Take care of like the multi batteries and stuff like that.
If we did Richard's plan and did a tour, we'd have to do that in the next week or so, and then maybe disseminate that information to the group, and then maybe a plan could be developed, voted on. I'm saying email voting to decide something. I guess a decision would need to be made. Martin mentioned last time a bunch of different public awareness ideas or ways, like radio spots or bus, sides of buses or something. So I think that's also a conversation we could have about how we would move forward if we had a clear message.
And part of that, it then goes to how much money and who's going to pay for it.
Right. See, those are all other stumbling blocks. Besides not having the message, we don't even know what we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, this is Chuck. I guess they're, depending on what the list is that Chris sends out, I was going to talk to our city manager about putting that on our website to discuss that. As far as the urgency of getting a public message out, Cindy, I agree with you. We need to get something out, but we haven't had anything out for years. I don't think we have to do it in the next couple of weeks. I'd rather be accurate than responsive. So we need to take a look on what the options are going to be and when they're going to be in place. I'd also like to see the county update their website to discuss where to go with various, Chris, essentially your list. What do we do with it and where do we go with it?
Quite a few places. I think we can actually reroute about everything if need be. Like if we get full, we can pretty much route anything we take. So it's a pretty extensive list, really.
Okay. And I think that would just give us the opportunity. And Tammy, as far as, you know, waste management is concerned, I don't know if you guys can post something like that on your website.
We can't necessarily post third-party businesses, but we could post the county website, like, here's what to do, you know, with X, Y, and Z, go here for the list.
Yeah.
So we could do
that. Oh, right. Just reference the county
or
website.
The city.
Yeah,
we could list the city or county because we look. Yeah. And then we could let BASIP know the same thing and anybody else that wants to do that.
And Cindy, who's your provider just for information?
BDI.
Okay.
Okay. So this is not, I know, Cindy, getting to what you really want to discuss.
That's okay.
Something, good things take a long time. I guess we can table this for the next discussion.
I will send out that list as soon as I get done with this.
Okay. Great.
I got it in my email.
Okay.
But I don't want to mess with the recording.
That's fine.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and Chris, what I can do from the city perspective is send an email to the group as a, well, to Tammy for distribution, I guess.
Okay.
To say, yes, it's posted on the Kennewick, you know, now we'll cover Kennewick. And if you can do the same thing for the county, so we can just keep each other informed of what progress is being made. And Rich, I don't know how West Richmond wants to handle it, but I would assume somewhere along the same line as far as informational stuff.
Yeah, and I, what I'll do is reach out to our, I would say, also suggest you talk with the fire chief, because they're the responders. I might reach out to Benton County 4 and see if I can see what their concerns are, their approaches would be, because it was as the vehicle for, because it's, I mean, it shouldn't be a waste issue or a waste message. It should be a fire department message type of thing, because it's also a concern at your home. You know, people are, or what do I do with my battery? What, you know, and you know,
it's going to be a team effort, Richard, because at least where I live, the fire department pretty much told all the cities that it was WM's issue. So, and that we should pick it up curbside, and that's just the way it should be. That wasn't here. So There's a fire issue, but there's also proper disposal. So I think it's a team effort on what we do going forward.
Did you tell them that they're going to respond to the flaming truck?
I still need to meet with the chief on that. So it's on the list. Yeah.
Well,
I would not be able to go to a batteries plus two in the next couple of weeks. But if you...
Well, maybe not everybody needs to go. I mean,
right.
I don't know how the receptive they're going to be to a tour, but I'd be up for it if Richard wanted to.
Well, I think that's the question is if one person walked over there and walked, you know, asked to see how they're managing it, then maybe they'll be a little bit more receptive than a group of people. Oh, you know, if I own the business, I might let one person in. I don't know if I'd let 10 type of thing. So
are you saying we shouldn't bring pitchforks?
Right.
So I guess if you want to explore it,
follow through, huh?
Yeah, let me see. I can go by and see what what they're doing and see if there's the best package or possibly just take pictures and do a presentation to the SWAC of how they're doing it type of thing. So
they might, I don't know if I'd want you taking pictures of that.
Okay, well, they have something that they might not have that very smart management type of thing.
Yeah, who knows? Well, thanks. If you get the opportunity to explore, that'd be great to know.
Okay.
Let's see. Anything else on this topic for now? All right. So reports and discussion items, item 7, public works staff, moderate voice plan update, permitting and opening, Clayton.
We currently don't have an opening date, but we have had a first or initial review with Ben Franklin Health and Ecology for a permit. We were advised on a couple of the things that we needed to fix correct. And the operations plan and some of the other things that are covered in the WAC. Matt and I have finalized those actually yesterday. So we'll get that submitted back to the permit, you know, review team, which combination, like I said, of Ecology and Franklin Health. The biggest drawback here is that we have to have a 25-year stormwater study for that facility. So we have hired an engineering firm to do that. They're going to tackle that for us. That's part of that's part of the things, one of the things that they said that we had to get rectified. So we're in the process of that. Hopefully we'll have that, like I said, that stormwater study done before the end of the month. Submit that with the changes that we made that, you know, Ecology and Franklin Health wanted us to address, get those done and submit that all back, and then give them the time to review that and see where we're at. So I feel like we're turning the corner in the home stretch. So
yeah.
So before the end of March, you'll have the stormwater plan?
That's tentatively, yeah.
Okay.
We're like when we're dealing with another engineering firm, it's kind of...
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah. That's what we, the discussion we have with them.
Okay. Any questions on that?
Yeah, Martin, I got a comment. I'm pulling up the records for the plan review, and I see we received some storm calculations when this site was supposed to be reconstructed or remodeled. Who should I send that to so we can figure out whether Ecology is okay with this or not?
You could send it to me or Matt.
Okay.
But our understanding was from them that it was not, and that we had to have an actual 25-year storm.
Okay.
Storm study done for a 25-year storm event. You know, that's,
okay.
But it'd probably be good. I mean, we can... So I'm pretty sure we submitted that already, but I'd have to look at the whole back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, it yeah, this is some calculation. I'm looking through the document. There's some calculations here, but I don't see a full storm design report.
Yeah, and under the WAC, that's one of the things required for the permit.
Okay.
We were kind of in the same mindset, like we thought, well, that was the calculations were done for that, but it doesn't hit the requirements that the WAC requires for the actual 25-year storm.
So other than that, any other surprises?
No, that's it. It's actually, you know, that's really where we're at. We just started the process at the facility last week with getting the parking lot finalized for like striping and markings and traffic channelization. So when people have, you know, they obviously pull in, they can know which direction to kind of navigate through that parking lot. You go to a lot of these facilities throughout the state. And I don't know that Chris might know, but the ones that we've went through over the last, you know, 18 months and visited, had site visits with, a lot of them are not right on a busy arterial like this one is, you know, so Ely's pretty busy street. I'm sure you guys know, but it's, a lot of them have a longer approach into their facility because most of them are tied to some kind of minefield. So there's a bigger kind of navigate. It gives people time to, okay, they separate traffic, and here we're just pulling people right in off of Ely.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, which way do I go all of a sudden? And we're trying to come up with the best way to not have traffic backed up into the road, you know, depending on how busy it is. So we have room there, and we started that. We should have that done probably by the end of next week. We'll have all the markings and stuff like that done. We were going to have those guys go in there today, but it was a little wet this morning, so I got pushed off. But should have all that done and a way for, you know, people to navigate through there, know where to stop and where oil goes, antifreeze compared to other, you know, ways that where that goes, kind of separate traffic. So, but that's not a bad thing. So this wasn't really a surprise. That's just one more thing that we're this much closer to having finished. So, which is a good step. So.
I know for a lot of this has been going on for years and years, and yeah. You're kind of road worn, and I get it.
Yeah.
But is there any plan for a grand opening or?
Well, I'd have to get further. There'll be something for sure that would be, you know, some kind of public outreach to some extent, 100%, because it's a very public facility. So we'll have some grand opening. I don't know if we're, you know, that exact language, but yeah, there'll be some public, us reaching out to the public and involvement because we want people to know that it's open.
Yeah.
And to attract citizens to bring, you know, the stuff that we want them to bring there. So it's just, I have that put together until we know the exact date.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that we've had discussions about sites, website stuff, but flyers and, you know, stuff that we would probably want to get something out in the media somehow, you know.
Well, we want to make sure and invite city council people and mayors and all that. So that's what I was more thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Is,
they can bring their garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, that for sure will be.
I have pictures of this county commissioner putting some something terrible in there.
Yeah. Something I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
So hopefully the next meeting, maybe more info. Richard, or I mean Chuck, sorry.
Oh, no problem. So, and I hate to sound like a cranky old guy, but I'm going to. So, this need for calculations, pardon me?
I said, that's okay. I have a lot of gray hair.
So, the need for calculations, that's a new emergent issue. While we have done the ventilation upgrade, I mean, how do we know there is anything else out there? This project is... Like, who else needs to be talked to figure out, is this the last brick in the building? Because it seems like the building keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we never run out of bricks.
Well, so, I mean,
Chuck, you spent too much time out at Hanford. You know it never works.
Yeah, I also know that eventually something has to happen, and either the process isn't working very well, where we don't understand the requirements, or we're blowing past requirements somehow. And that's what I'm asking is there another brick out there that we should know about? I mean, or is this, you know, one department couldn't get back to us early enough to tell us that these calculations weren't adequate? I mean, is that the problem? Ecology couldn't tell us earlier on that, hey, you don't have this piece of paper?
Well, some of that isn't even brought to, I think, to fruition until the permit process, which, you know, we have done. The best way I can answer that is in, like, the frustrations that you might have, which I would imagine are across the room, including myself. But we, unfortunately, when this whole process started, it's been through three or four different public works employees that don't even work here anymore. So by the time Matt and I really got into it, it was roughly a year, maybe 18 months ago, to finalize and get this building. I don't foresee there being another issue after us having the meeting that we had with the health department and ecology, and us going straight down the checklist of here's the things that have to get rectified for us to approve your permit. That was the last meeting we had with them. So at this point, I feel confident once the changes that we made in the operations plan, like I discussed earlier, and now we get this the stormwater study that has to be done by an engineer done, I don't see that there being anything else from us being able to open the facility. We've
already
been through and had all the inspections done that we had to have inspected after the ventilation system was installed. And that's kind of when Matt and I really got into it. It's about the ventilation area, you know, it's like,
right,
how are we going to have this stuff in here and not have a ventilation system for it? So, and that process, yes, you know, from a local government or any government standpoint of going through the bidding process and competitive bidding, you know, to make sure that we're doing everything we have to do legally to have that work done, adds time to it. Not to mention, I mean, once we even got that done, the lead time for them to get the work done and acquire the appropriate parts was months. So,
well, it sounds like you had all the right players in the room. Everyone has agreed that this is final now and our checklist is complete, is what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah, that's where, you know, that I don't want to speak for Matt, but he's not here, but the last conversation that him and I had about it was within the last few days. That's where him and I both kind of have the stance on it. It's like, okay, we rectified made the changes in the operations plan. We're ready to submit that back to the Ben Franklin Health, you know, for the permit.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to have this other study done. And luckily we were able to get somebody to do it in a fairly quick order. So they're going to come in and do that. It should take it that long. It's just a matter of March and April is kind of a busy time for engineering firms and construction companies as the weather starts to turn. So for us to all of a sudden just say, hey, and make a phone call, we need this done as fast as you can, they already have other stuff lined out. But I don't foresee there being another issue after having the conversations that we had with ecology and that we had with the health department.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you know, is there a time commitment from health department or ecology when you submit?
Yeah, they have. I don't remember what it is, but they do have so many days to review it.
Okay.
And I don't know if Michelle, are you still on there?
Yeah, I believe it's 45 days.
I thought that's what it was, but and they, all of them were within that time frame, right? Like, we had our meeting after we submitted our permit. They could help, ecology and the health got back to us when we had our meeting and went through it, which was in that time frame. So now we just submit that. And then if it comes to it, I don't know. I'd have to find out from the health department because we haven't got to that point. If we have to, I don't know if we have to resubmit a different permit or we just work off of this one. But really, that what that just comes down to is refilling a new application and paying the fee. So hopefully that's not the case if it's done in a reasonable amount of time. So that meeting was just a couple of weeks ago that we had that meeting. So,
so then the soonest, I mean, if your best case scenario is you get an engineering firm that magically gets this done in 2 weeks, we're in mid-March now.
Yeah.
And then.
That would be ours.
Yeah.
I don't know about their end.
Yeah.
For review.
And yeah.
You
so
know what I mean? I don't know if that. From the health department, I don't know if that time starts over.
Yeah,
that would be a question. I think that we'd have to ask her what that looks like.
I just, for Chuck and others, that Richland, everyone's anxiously awaiting. Yeah. It's like, so as soonest is going to be June, probably, maybe. I mean, that's very soonest.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
That seems, I don't know.
Okay.
That seems a little later than I would say.
It really just depends on other people right now.
Yeah.
And are you guys planning to do a collection event ahead of the opening? I know originally you had planned to do that just to try to get like the bulk amount so it wasn't a mad rush.
We did one in October, but we currently don't have a plan to do one right now. I think this would be dependent on the topic that we're discussing. I mean, if we run into some kind of issues to where it's taking longer for us to open the facility, then we would probably revisit that for sure.
Okay.
It, becomes down to a budgetary topic at that point for the solid waste, budget.
Okay.
I don't think we're opposed to it. It completely makes sense to try to, ease some of the initial load and burden that will probably happen when we open the facility. It's probably going to be pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All
right. Anything else on this topic? Moving on, Benton County Solid Waste Fund and MRWA budget.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what info you guys want, so I'm not about to.
Well, this considers as I'll just say for myself, it's been hit and miss. I think I've been coming to these SWAC meetings for 13 years, and I don't recall a full budget presentation. Richard probably and Martin have been.
No, we haven't.
I'm just going to kind of go through the numbers, and then if people have questions, we can just go from there, if that's okay.
Yep.
So the 25-26 budget is $1.9 million for this. That's the solid waste budget. Moderate risk operations cost out of that is roughly $1 million, just a little over $1 million. Which leaves the other $870,000 and change for salt waste. And so that's the budget, what was budgeted for there. We're back to some of the revenues here.
Go ahead.
Before we go too far much further, so when you have solid waste services, what's that involved? The word services is used a lot. I don't know what any of that means. I mean, examples of that?
It's in the revenue.
Well, that's really what it is. Just where the money.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, we're trying to understand where's the money coming from and then how is it utilized?
The $20,000?
Yeah.
I think that's probably small quantity generators. Or do they pay direct?
I'm not 100% sure what that 20 grand is, but I can find out for sure.
I mean, and that's kind of chump change in the overall scheme of things. Right. But once you get down to expenditures, services has $800,000 involved.
Right.
You're out of chump change and into real dollars now for this budget. And by the way, anyone who wants to give me $20,000 in chump change, I'm good with that. Just saying. Because I am the chump.
Yeah, but usually for the expenditures for that would be contractors, anybody that we have to use to pick up the material. That's also going to cover any of the utilities for the facility. That's also going to cover anything that's, I guess, not covered by salaries and benefits that would be associated with the facilities is typically covered under services.
So that would include any engineering services?
Yes, it would. Yep.
Oops.
I guess one thing I would like personally to see, and if nobody else needs this, then I'm fine with as is. But I guess for almost half of the budget, I'd like to see the services broken down to utilities, engineering support, outside construction, those type of deals to kind of get a sensibility of.
Well, I think, Chuck, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the services that we've been paying for or have paid for were actually the companies we recycle with. And when we do the events and things of that nature,
that's under services.
So that would be a part of it, but how big a part?
Most.
Well,
that's what we contribute.
Well, each event is roughly around, you know, anywhere from $120,000 to $140,000 is what we pay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
We're not here trying to judge the county or staff or anybody else on any of this. It's more the communities are paying in.
Yeah.
And they know where their money is coming from. And I'm trying to understand, there's got to be some bull cost accounting somewhere in the county.
And to be honest with you, it's probably on the county website and approved biannual budget.
Okay.
If you know what I mean? That was approved by the board.
And I guess we were looking for that level of presentation.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I get it.
Like you wanted each line item under the services, you know?
Benefits also? I don't understand what that line item is for. So
it's staff. That's for staff benefits and benefits.
It's not just included? Okay.
No. The way they...
All right.
And salaries and benefits are separated. They're on different line
items. I thought there was some, garbage benefit or something.
No, it's just staff benefits.
Because part of it is, how do we gauge how to help county staff or the county or make recommendations based on what's in the solid waste plan when we don't really even know what the budget is?
Yeah.
Like education outreach is a thing that keeps coming up.
Right.
There's nothing
on here
earmarked at all, if that's the case, okay, but we need to have that conversation.
That would be a conversation that you guys would want to have collectively in the summer of next year, is the way that the county budget system works, is it's a biennial budget, and now that's the beginning process of that, start in June.
But the cities, I don't know that the city budgets align, maybe they do, Chuck, and so, we need to better understand the flow of dollars and where the priorities are, and the hazardous waste program has taken the lion's share of pretty much everything for a long time. Is that going to remain, is what I heard at the last meeting.
Yeah, it's a really, this is a really tight budget. Like, that's $1.9 million for 2 years, pretty tight.
So
when you take into consideration of once we pay employees, which takes a huge portion of that, but the next big portion, now that we're done with any kind of capital improvements, like the ventilation system and all that kind of stuff, just normal operating, now it's going to go to third parties, that come in every week with that material, which is a pretty hefty cost. We just don't know yet, without opening the facility and have at least a quarter or two quarters of running, really preferably a year, right, because the different seasons, all that kind of thing, for us to have a good idea of what that number is every year until we open the facility. I mean, Chris and I and whoever else involved, we can sit here and guess all day, well, how fast are we going to fill up before we have to have them come, and then what's that? We have estimated, what that cost right here, that comes, we're just looking at past history, but the ecology kind of gave us a rough per quarters based off of population of other counties, of what the what it costs per person, I guess, is the breakdown of what this is. So, its population for 22 for Bent County was 212,000, and it's saying that the moderate gross waste per quarters at 95,000, which comes out to 0.45 person. So we can kind of take this number and get an idea, but it's not agreed, because I think the first year might be a little heftier than through that, especially once it's open. So
that number that we're going to have to pay out to ACT, you know, to come in and to take these materials out is kind of a, we budget for it, but we're using some of this data to come up with that number, so, you know, and hopes that we get close to that, so.
Well, then, and then what comes to mind is, well, are you ever going to charge? I mean, what? How many of that? There's other counties that I charge, I believe, for household hazardous waste.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, how did the communities continue to support this? You know, Chuck, you can probably speak to this. I don't know. I'm not sure this is a topic that comes up at council all the time, but this has been a long-running topic for this commission and committee on how are things paid for and where's the money from Richland or Kennewick? How is it being utilized? So that's where.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, like I said, I don't know. We can get that. I can put something a little more detailed together because I don't think it's appropriated that way. City Kennewick donated, you know, they this portion of their money's this much, and then we keep track of what we did exactly with the city.
No, I'm not saying exactly with theirs, but you know, they all pay in by population or whatever. I don't even know. So, Richard, do you know, Marvin?
Well, I mean, it's broken up by population, and it's what we've paid so far is just simply the grant match based on population.
And that's
it just seems like as you go forward, solid waste staff may need to revisit what's in the budget and how are you going to go forward and are we going to be able to accomplish the things that are outlined in the solid waste management plan?
Right.
In addition, I
looked at the services line item. That just says what's left for them to be able to provide services. You know, because we know that. It's their budget. It's what they can spend to accomplish what it is, and what's more a question comes down to is if this is the budget, then the question comes down to is probably for the SWAC if we want to be good stewards of the money, the recognition of what did we spend on services type of thing. Just like Chuck, I mean, you get the bills to pay, right? We should have some of that type of visibility of what they're going to spend, what they spent the money on.
Well, and I am looking at the budget from the county. So solid waste is the way the county does things. It's code 1550. So that's on page 302 of 340 pages. But so there's $200,000 for operating supplies. I'm not really sure what that is. And there's another big chunk of change, $193,000 for fenced item contingency. So is that saying, well, we're holding back approximately $200,000 as reserves? So, or is there really an actual fence out there? I mean, are we paying $200,000 for a fence? I don't think we are. But I mean, so that doesn't mean anything, right?
Actually, I think it does. It means what's inside the fence. And if we have to shut down for any reason, let's say ecology comes in and says there's something wrong, we have to shut down. What was the cost to get rid of everything? It was like over $100,000 to actually clean up.
I don't know that that's the same thing, but we, in part of the permit process, there's a requirement, what's called financial assurance requirement, right? So we have to have a plan for closure if we had to close the facility, but we also have to show that we have the funds set aside to cover the cost of the closure of the facility, which was in the hundred something 100 or something. I don't know off the top of my head.
That was an estimate.
Yeah. But it really is, if we're at full capacity, if there's any kind of ground remediation, all that stuff has to be included in that, which is now, you know, included in our, that whole document is included in our permit. That's what that number's for. It's there because they require it for us to have that. The WAC does, Washington yep. State does, requires us to show that we have those funds separate from any kind of services or operational, you know, operating costs for us to be able to close the facility.
So it's a closure contingency plan.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me.
And as far as supplies go, every time that we send a load out, we have to buy supplies, meaning the barrels, sometimes extra spill pallets, things that go along. That, you know, we have to pay for all the 55-gallon drums that come back in. We have to pay for all the materials it takes to get it out the door. So that is definitely a high cost on supplies. They're not cheap.
Yeah.
Everything that says hazardous on it is three times the amount.
So for the rest of the board, though, I would say if we go to the Benton County budget, pages 302 through 304, pretty much, they do there's more explanation there. Temporary help, I was going to ask about that. Is that primarily for when we have the one-day big event, like at the fairgrounds or something like that, or is that just vacation coverage for our local guys?
Was it like $7,000 or something?
$13,000.
So $13,000 for the biennium. That's we put that in there so if something happens and we had to temporarily hire a county employee as a temp because of, you know, unfortunately something happened to one of the full-time staff.
Okay.
And it requires a different line item the way that we budget. We can't budget a full-time position and then not have it be a full-time, I guess is the best way to explain it. So if we have to put that in there as temporary help just for a kind of a worst-case scenario, if, I don't know, Chris decided to just quit one day in the middle of us working and we had two people left, then, you know, we might have to hire somebody temporarily until we got the full-time people built. So that's a pretty common line item budget between all the budgets that are in public works, including the road fund and ER&R, like we all have those in there just for that purpose.
So a suggestion I would make is if you guys could cut and paste those three pages and send it out to the board, and that way everyone kind of has a better idea of what things are. And if there's jargon being used that we don't understand, then that would give us a chance to say, yeah, this is what we think we should be doing with this.
Yeah.
Does that work for folks?
No problem on our end for that.
I think in general, what they've presented is that just, you know, in general, showing where we stand.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure we need that. I don't know if that adds any level of details because, again, we don't know what services we're going to use in the next 2 years, but this is what we're able to fund.
Well, I think the advantage, Rich, is that it gives us as a board a better understanding of the complexity of the process, right?
We're not a board.
Okay. Advisory committee.
Right.
You know, we should at least have the understanding of these are the fundamentals. Because the budget is just, you know, it's a guidepost. It's a cartoon at this point. Well, until we actually do it.
The budget's a budget, and if you don't, that doesn't mean that's revenue, right? So we can budget whatever we want to budget all day long, but if you don't actually have the revenue is what you can spend. Is
right.
Not, yeah.
And all I'm saying is that until we actually are up and running, we won't know how much we really need in terms of utilities, in terms of supplies and all that stuff. And I understand that. So this is just a guideline, but we should, as a advisory committee, should have an understanding in my mind of what that is. Now, if that is too detailed, if I'm going too much into the weeds, you know, the advisory committee should tell me, Chuck, shut up. I'm good with that.
I just think on the other solid waste advisory committees that I'm on, that there's a more detailed level of budgeting presented. There's also a more detailed, if we get the whole picture, like what cities are paying in, how much are they paying in, here's all we've got, people, so stop asking us for money or stop, we don't. There's things in the solid waste plan. Mostly the solid waste plan, I would say, is ecology, don't listen. It appears to be unfunded, any new things. So if we're going to do new things, there needs to be new revenue. And so where would that come from? I guess is the over,
Well, I disagree that the solid waste plan is unfunded from the standpoint.
Hang on, Richard.
Okay. I didn't want to talk. I was asking what the environmental service is there for the 15, but it sounds like if they had a spill, somebody would come in, a safety cleaner or something. You have to, something to
we could take.
Okay.
Yeah. Richard, what?
I was just going to say the major emphasis of the solid waste plant has been consistently to get the moderate risk waste facility up and running.
Right.
So it is funded. There's a lot of other things that we wanted to do in the solid waste plan, but we our primary focus has been and will be to get the moderate risk waste facility up.
Yeah, absolutely. I just know Cindy's been wanting to do some other things that are written in the solid waste plan. And I'm just trying to point out there doesn't appear to be funds to do those unless we come up with some other way to fund those.
Yeah, the annex says, hey, if we're going to do this, list of items, there would be a request for additional funding from all the partners.
Yeah.
Now, historically, there's been a bunch of stuff the county has done, and some of it they may still be doing. Staff may still accomplish some of the education outreach stuff and, keep up the website and whatever. There may be some things that are still going on. Maybe I can put a pin in the topic by saying that. So if you guys are working at the county, understand that, I'm not grumpy with you today. It's just as you are newer staff and we've run through trying to put this facility together for 15 years. We're asking you a question that we've asked previous staff members. And so sometimes previous staff have done a great job of providing some of the material or other pieces of the material. So we're just coming to you saying, hey, now that we're working with you, it's an opportunity for us to say, hey, we've got some new people on the SWAC committee and you guys are new. So it'd probably be a good idea if we had a clear picture of, like Tammy's saying, what money's coming in and what are you guys hoping to do with it? And so we can kind of get on the same page. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think that's an issue moving forward, and we'll put something together for that. And the majority of that, the revenue for the entire fund is the ecology grant and the matches. I mean, that's just what the largest chunk of that is, to what percent. I would have to sit down and do a little math, but it's, at least in the 75% range of where the majority of that money comes from is for that. So I don't know off the top of my head what each municipality contributes, but I do know it's off based off the population, So city wise would be the highest one. So, but we can easily get that and have that available at the next meeting for you guys. I don't think that's a problem at all.
Awesome.
And I got really thick skin, so it's okay.
We're just thrilled.
Used to people not listening. So
at these meetings, and you are doing things, and this facility is going to open very soon.
I can promise you guys that there's not. We are just as anxious and motivated to get this facility open as anybody that is on this committee.
Yeah,
like 100%. And I can also know from facts myself of staying late for numerous nights over the last few months with Matt that we've put a lot of time and effort into taking care of the stuff that we need to get taken care of. And I understand that it takes time, but we're both, and Chris for that matter, we're ready for us to have this facility open and operating and providing the service to the public, for sure.
I think our biggest fear, though, is that as soon as the facility opens and you do end up with some lithium batteries, Chris is going to drive it over to my house and put it on my lawn and say, here, you want to know about that? Here it is. Don't do that, Chris, please.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, the other contingency we have to deal with is what's being left on the doorstep, which probably would include lithium batteries. I mean, we're seeing that at the recycle centers or recycle boxes. And you know, out on Hanford, they typically would end up with some solid waste or hazardous waste sitting on the doorstep of the facility that took hazardous waste because they didn't want to do the paperwork or, you know, that type of thing. Mainly that wasn't staff employees, it was the contractors doing it. But, you know, the key comes down to is we're going to have to plan for what's left on the doorstep, you know, at the gate out front. And, you know, it's another dumping, but these are nasty dumps. And I would expect that we would have, you know, some lithium batteries show up. So is the shed still out there? Or did the shed come down?
What shed?
I thought there was a shed out in the parking area.
I mean, there's the covering, you know, that's like a pole building covering.
Right. It's a covered area, right?
Yeah.
And that's where you put your used oil or something of that nature?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, it might be worthwhile to have a drum out there where you put, you know, store it for if it shows up or I don't know.
Richard, if we had that happen, I have a place for it.
Okay.
I have a place for it. It's away from the building. It's secure. But until we actually accept them, I do have.
I'm just saying.
I do have an alternate route for them besides the building. I do.
Okay.
And it'll be a great place.
This vintage.
It's his lawn.
No.
He offered.
No, seriously. We have a way to take care of it.
We're slightly over time. Is there any other topics that anyone wanted to discuss today?
I was wondering about composting, and I don't see anybody from the Richland to answer that question. That can just be
maybe we can get an update at the next meeting. And we're supposed to be meeting bi-monthly?
It should be May.
May.
What was the actual
question? You'll be halfway.
Oh, just a composting update. They did maybe a year ago. They hired a consultant to talk about
Wednesday, the 14th? May 14th at 10? Does anyone want to move to adjourn?
I do.
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay, Richard moved to adjourn, and Chuck celebrated with a yes. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.